all that is needed to be victorious in this life and in the life to come, you provided through your precious Son, Jesus. And we honor you, Christ, today, and we say we will be Christ's followers. We will set our will down and pick up the will of God in the steps, the actions, and the thoughts of our lives. Be honored, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we come before your word today, open our understanding so that we perceive the things that you desire us to understand. You did not place us here in this earth to be confused, nor to be overcome. So we say, Lord, for such a time as this, you have set our lives in motion on this earth. And as great the struggle, greater is the strength of God in us. So we thank you. Move me out of the way and what you desire to be proclaimed today. Let it be proclaimed, Lord, in freedom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Capital City Church. And good morning to those that are gathering by the way of the stream today. We are in the summer mode. We have a lot of folks on vacation and pray for safety and R&R that is legit and real. So we begin the last part of our series entitled Last Days with a message entitled Global Heart. And we learn from Scripture in Proverbs 4, verse 23, above all else. When God says that, that should get our attention, right? Above everything else, our agenda, whatever we feel, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Today we understand that there is a global spirit called the Antichrist that has been in this earth since the time of Christ. And it is seeking to mold and make our heart not after the will of God, but after the will of lawlessness. So in this global government, this global leader, and this global religion that will be established in fullness in these last days, the goal is to reach our heart and to bring us into a system that is totally opposed to the heart of God. See, the spirit of the Antichrist is busy molding and forming hearts after his will of control. Because Satan wants to bring about his control in us. He wants our will to become his will. And then we see this. The hearts of many are already marked with the attitude and lawlessness of the beast. There's a forerunner called the spirit of the Antichrist that is getting us poised to accept him. In fact, arms are extended now to embrace this leader. There is a global government that is going to be established that many right now would fully accept. There is a global leader that is coming on the scene that many right now will be deceived and will welcome him. And then also there is a morphing of what is called a global religion that will work its song within us to make us think that we are pleasing God by embracing this. And again, as I said at the beginning, the goal is to get our hearts. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, we see the warning of what is coming, even from the writings of the apostle early in the church. So we're going to go through this large section of Scripture pretty quick this morning, because I don't want to keep you here till dinner. But let's walk through this precious, powerful word of God. The apostle Peter, the one thing that amazes me, you see Peter's attitude in the Gospels, and you see this development of maturity in him that is amazing through his letters. This is how the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder. Verse 2. That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Again, we get distant from the Word of God. We get kind of numbed by this thing called life. And Peter is reminding us, be alert, have your mind ready to receive. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days scoffing, following their own sinful desires. What does it mean to be a scoffer? To mock the truth. To lessen the truth edited by your heart's desire. And when the truth is brought to you, to simply mock it and believe that's not true, that's not real. Verse 4, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. It's like this. A lot of people won't even journey to end time studies because they feel nothing's changed. Things are just going to continue as they are, and I don't think Christ is going to come in my lifetime. And I always balance that with this. We may not see Christ in our lifetime, but we do not know in our lifetime when we will meet him or meet our chosen decision through the loss of our life. So many have experienced him quicker than they ever thought they would. And the same thing right now is if we get in a mindset, the history has always been the same, and things are just going to continue on, so I don't even need to think about last day's events. But Peter had a different opinion here. They say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. But the rebuke comes here. Verse 5. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of what? Say that. Water, and through water by the word of God. Peter is saying this, hey, do you think things have never changed on this earth? I want you to be aware that from water, God brought forth the land and created the earth. The earth has changed, but it doesn't stop there. Because the intent of distancing ourselves from the second coming of Christ is really an effort to stave off judgment, to put judgment at a distance from us. And then verse 6. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water. And say that word with me. Perish. And perish. So here, Peter's reminding them, guys, did you forget about the worldwide flood? Did you? Some Christians get to a point, well, I don't really think that really happened. But yes, it did happen. And there are countless proofs that are established. At some point in history, there was a worldwide catastrophe, a flood. But like you know, your old pastor is going to say, any truth raised above the word of God is a lie. Now understand me. The foundation of truth is in the word of God. And here Peter's saying, hey, do you forget that God judged this world and destroyed the whole earth by a flood? Do you forget that? Because in the time of Noah, there were people that thought things are just going to continue on like they're going and nothing's ever going to change. And then guess what? Lightning struck and the rain began. I think we are in a similar situation right now. Lightning is striking all around us. And probably in Noah's time, people just thought, well, it's just going to be a heavy rain. It's going to be localized. But the earth was what? Covered and destroyed. Life on earth outside of Noah's family and those upon the ark was ended. Why? Because of disobedience to God and sin, God judged the earth. And then we see in verse 10, but by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist and are stored up, can you say that word with me? Fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the what? The ungodly. Many people don't want to read that scripture. Don't want to look at that scripture. It's not correct to the heart that staves off judgment. But here we're reminded, Peter's saying, look, God did it once, and God has already established it to happen again. This time, it's not going to be by water, by flood. It's going to be by fire. Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just trying to proclaim the truth of God, which is what? Controversial. So here's the thing. God said, mankind, I'm going to give you a covenant that says, I will never destroy the earth again by means of a flood. Remember that? And in fact, God did not want us to forget that. So what did he do? He put the rainbow as a symbol that God has promised, I will not destroy the earth by means of a flood ever, ever again. Isn't that amazing? Do you think that when you see the rainbow? Do you? Well, the rainbow has been co-opted. And now the rainbow has become the symbol of LGBT and whatever other letters you want to put up there. Now, as a believer, I say, where did that come from? What was the motive behind that? And I'll just strike it as plainly and as clear as I can. There is a spirit of the Antichrist in the work within the hearts of fallen man, at work in the hearts of fallen man. So Satan has a way of doing things through those that don't even know he's working. And so he loves to co-opt what is God and to what? Defame it. So when I see the rainbow as a symbol to promote that which is unnatural, that offends me. Now, does someone have the right to do that? Yes, they do. But they also have to be prepared for the consequences. So me, as a believer, and this is just being blunt and honest, if I had a rainbow on my t-shirt, in this society, most people are not going to think about the covenant with God. They're going to think about the covenant with a lifestyle that God says is an abomination. Doesn't mean you don't have a choice. You do have a choice. You have free will that God has given you. Free will does not negate truth, though. And then we go further. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as what? One day. God's late. Nothing's going to change. God's reminding us, I am not affected by time. What you think has been a long time to me, it's been like a day. So don't let the centuries and thousands of years that have gone past humanity be any security that judgment is not going to arrive. And if we are honest about our heart right now, if we do not see a shift in this world, we are not looking with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And there is a protection that comes to the heart of man to keep trouble from them. And there is a design within us, in our flesh, to deny the obvious. But things are at a different level now. And if things are at a different level, we as believers are going to have to step up our position as well. We must be stirred, as Peter said, and our minds must be sharp to handle that which is coming before us. Does any of us like to be lied to? No. And God has a protection to keep us from lies. And that is the spirit of truth that lives in us. And then we go now to verse 9. Guard your heart, O church. Guard against that which is in verse 14. Excuse me, I'm moving ahead. Guard against that which seeks to scar and to pollute our hearts. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient. That's the heart of God. Patience towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach what? Repentance. God loves humanity. God is seeking to draw us to repentance. He is what? Patient. He is patient. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be what? Exposed. Whatever we're building in this life, first of all, it is temporal. If it is not that which is forming Christ in us. But that which we are building, that we feel justified in, at some point the light is going to come and not only expose it to us, but will expose it to all of humanity. And that day is approaching. And for some, it has already been sealed because they didn't wake up this morning. They never returned home on their way from wherever they were last night. Instead of entering the doors of their home, they entered the doors of eternity. And then we see this, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Do you see? What we store up here, what we accomplish here, is so distant from value in the eyes of God compared to our growth in him in building that which is of eternal character and not temporal. Praises of men and even praises of our own heart. Verse 12. Waiting, oh, I love this, and hastening the coming of the day. So believers that are attuned, that are in step with where God wants us positioned, not only know he's coming, but they long for his coming, and they even have this attitude, oh, come now, Lord Jesus. When's the last time we said that? God, can you give me a little bit more time? I need a little bit more time. Can you wait? There's some more things I want to accomplish. And that's a normal response, especially as a young person. I used to say, God, let me get married before you come. But you know what? When our hope is in this life, our desire will be for it to be preserved in continuance. But when our hope is in Christ, we can't wait to see him. Because we know that is when the fullness of life truly begins. Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Verse 13. But according to his promise, we are waiting for, don't you love this? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. It's coming. We've talked about it before. There's a lot of debate about the order, but we know this. At some point, Christ is going to have a millennial reign on this earth. And those that are believers in him that have died in Christ or were here and raptured at his coming, we will serve as priests and kings. And there will be nations, the Bible talks about. And we will be part of that righteous, glorious rule of Christ on this earth. And then we see this strange event that happens, that the beast, that global leader, and the global leader that is that world religion, they're going to meet their destiny right in the lake of fire like that. But Satan is going to be locked up in the abyss for 1,000 years. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, which that mystery I fully don't understand, but at that end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be released for a little season of time. And for some reason, I don't understand it all, but there's going to be a rebellion that will arise because he is a deceiver. He is one who fools the minds and hearts of others. And then there will be this great battle. And for God, it's not a battle at all. He speaks, and the enemy is destroyed. And then, in this miraculous hand of creation of God, a new heaven and a new earth will be established, where God himself will be enthroned. And that rule will never, never end. And so we don't have to worry about our future, but we must get an appetite for it. For the taste of this world changes our palate so that we desire the things more of the flesh than of the spirit. But the beauty is God wants to teach us to taste well every day as we follow after the rule of his spirit in us and not the ruling of our flesh within. And we see this. Therefore, beloved, verse 14, since you are waiting for these, be diligent, be to be found, where? By him without spot or blemish. And then I love this, because so many people think that faithful belief in Christ is such a pressure upon them. But in our quest to allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us, it is not a pressure, it is a liberty, it is freedom at its full expression, and it is that which gives us peace that nothing else can. That's why you see some people really pressing on in Christ, and stuff happens, and then they just, what? Peaceful. Because their hope is not in the flesh. Their hope is in Christ. And that is who he's called us to be. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, this new heaven and this new earth, this rule of God's righteousness upon this earth and new earth and heavens, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count, oh, thank you, Lord, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. As he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. It's a quest. It's a learning. It's a process of growing. Which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. What is that? That's a warning. The counterfeit gospel is formulated not outside of the walls of the church, is formulated within. So God is preparing us that we must be mindful of what his truth is and be guarded on the editing, the molding of men that twist the word of God. For what? Their own evil desires. And then we see this, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. One of the things that was foretold by Peter concerning the teachings of Paul, people would come to twist them to give license to continue in sin. And in that, there would be a self-righteousness, a covering of self that would be established, that would be trusted in. And when the day of judgment came upon them through either death on this earth sealed our choices, or at the coming of the Lord, that which we have built that is twisted by the teachings of false teachers would be a security that would not hold us. It would deceive us unto destruction. And then verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't fade away because of grace. Don't lessen your temperature of trust because of a false teaching of grace. No, grace is a power that enables us to grow to the places that God has intended. And we must look at this with great clarity. There's a reason this earth has not met the judgment of Christ yet. Because God is patient, and God is not desirous of any to perish, but is making that way for us. And what our heart is being formed as will determine that which we trust in. Do not let your heart be influenced by the global desires of the Antichrist, the global heart. Guard against the mark of lawlessness upon your heart. The mark of the beast will be seen in the hearts of people long before it is engraved upon their bodies. We know this. There's a mark coming that's going to be required so that you can function in this global government and in this global religion and to honor this global leader. Yet, the forming of it will come first upon the heart long before the hand is allowed to be engraved in whatever manner that is. Testing our spirit for the influence of the spirit of the Antichrist. Don't you want to know if you've been touched and manipulated? Do you? You know, there's nothing like self-evaluation. It's a good thing. But some people, pride gets so lifted, don't get that microscope out and look deep at my heart. Don't do it. But if we seek God, we will desire his evaluation of our heart each and every day. That's what communion's all about. God, is there something in me that I'm holding on to that I need to let go? Prepare me, because I remember what you did. May my heart be where you desire, empowered by you to be where you want it to be. So can we do that this morning? Can we take a little bit of a self-evaluation to see what influence the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of lawlessness is having upon us? You down with that? I'm not getting any amens, but here we go, all right? First of all, is your spirit, your heart, grieved by disrespect and dishonor to God and his word? It's a powerful thought. When you see the promise of God, the image that God has established as a covenant between man and himself, humanity and himself, be taken in to promote that which God calls an abomination? Does that bother you? Does it? Do you make provision for man's authority to rule over God's authority? How do we do that? We justify the opinions of man to have value when God tells us those opinions, though are valuable because they flow out of the heart of man, they're valuable, though, in their era, meaning that man has liberty and free will to design whatever he wants to design, but there is a day of accountability that will line up to the Word of God. Do you make provision for man's authority to rule over God's authority? You know, how do we do that? We distance ourselves from the Word of God, because the Word of God daily feeds us, daily calibrates us, and daily prepares us to see that spirit of the Antichrist when it approaches. And also, we mentioned this, the flesh, when it cries out, and we have been in God's presence in his word, our flesh is identified in its era, and then that grace comes so that we align to God. And we are grieved when God's word is not honored. Let me ask you this, and this is to myself as well. Is your spirit grieved by abortion, that the destruction of human life? Is it? You know, I'd have to say, I've become numb to the fruit of death, because it has been practiced for so long in this nation and justified by the word of man above the word of God that it doesn't even make us shudder or skip a beat when at the heart of it exposes the heart of the Antichrist, because he hates you. He doesn't want you to have a future. He hates you. When he looks at you, he sees the image of God, and nothing delights him any more than ripping apart the existence of humanity. And that's what abortion does. The spirit of the Antichrist is cool with it. In fact, it will promote it and justify it. Let's go further. Is your spirit grieved by the perversion of holy matrimony? Is it? Is it? In fact, another institution that God established was the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. Yet now, man's word has lifted up and said, this is what marriage is, when God says, no, marriage is between one man and one woman. New Testament defines it even clearer. It says, one man, one woman. Yet, the spirit of the Antichrist will work on our emotions to justify that. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Are people free to marry whoever they want? Yeah. Yes. But they will stand in judgment, not by the word of man, but by the word of God. And so love everybody. But you don't love someone if you don't speak truth to them. You don't. What good is a church that doesn't teach truth? It is a trap. It is an invite into a place where God is said to be honored, yet his teachings are modified by the word of man, not the will of God's word. It's not loving. Is your spirit grieved as we test our spirit for the influences of the spirit of Christ, of the Antichrist? Is your spirit grieved by the dismantling of family? I'm going to tell you, young people, family matters. And it's a journey that is for the young at heart. The longer you wait to tie that knot, the longer you will resist entering into that covenant. So what do you mean? It is a gift that God has given society so that it is preserved in continuance, not only through the obvious of children, but that it is a place where children are nurtured in the order of God's design. Does it bother you that we don't value mother and father being in a home together raising children? Does it? Now, life is unfair. Stuff happens, and the family is under attack. But God's order to make that load as light as it can be is having two people work at forming the heart of that child. You know, sometimes we can't help it. People do stupid things. People break our hearts. People lie to us. Divorces happen. It's a part of life. We must be guarded to accept a new normal that is not the best for the protection of the continuance of that life of a child. You know, growing up, I still remember this. Society has done all that it can to put so much pressure on families that it's hard to function in a nurturing way. And so we must be guarded to see, first of all, that highest call of motherhood, that highest call of fatherhood when it comes to our role here on this earth. We honor him, which is our highest call, but we honor him by fulfilling what God has entrusted. And when he gives us a child, never forget this. The child is a gift from his hand. And may we not fall into this attitude, family doesn't matter, it matters. Test to see if the spirit of the Antichrist is moving its will within us. Is your spirit grieved by sexual perversion? Or do you see it and just kind of laugh at it and think, oh, that's just kids today, right? Does your heart grieve when you see things that you know are detestable? Is sexual perversion acceptable to us now? For it is all around us, and God wants that gift of sex to be that which blesses us, not destroys us. And sexual perversion is so in our face today, people don't think twice about its appearance. And its appearance, not only in our hearts and in our minds, but having gateway to come into the lives of our homes. If you have a child that has a smartphone and you're not diligent about what is on that smartphone, can I say it? Shame on you. Because a child is not the guard. You are the guard. And when Barbara and I have talked about this multiple times, when we were raising our sons, it was a lot easier. One computer in the family room, and it hardly could play any kind of video or anything. And whatever went down was there for normally for everybody to see. And our boys didn't walk around with internet connection because it didn't exist. Now you can't even buy a little Game Boy without having what? Connection. So that which is sexual perversion, do we make allowance for it? The spirit of the Antichrist comes in and it begins to mold our heart. It gives us that global heart, that worldly heart, and we accept so many things that God asks us to reject. Is your spirit grieved by the rejection of the natural for the unnatural? Now, we talked about it, about the rainbow flag. And the initials that are there are growing. All you got to do is know they are what? Growing. And as I've said before, the church is good about giving a heavy hand on the gay lifestyle. And I had a guy that battled with that, and he told me, I said, he says, Pastor, he says, anytime I hear anything about people that struggle with being gay in the church, I don't hear a lot of grace associated with that. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Do you feel that here? And he told me, he was honest. He says, Pastor, at times, yes. And I apologized. And I said, first of all, sin is sin. And whenever sin is identified, the forgiveness and the pathway of grace to being restored should always be there. And then this is something that really touches me. Yolanda's struggle is different from Barbara's struggle. My struggle is different from George's struggle. Chaz, his struggle is different from Delphine's struggle. So we each have certain variables that we have to overcome. And for some people, it could be environment in which they were brought up in. It could be we all are born what? Fallen. We're born with a body that has problems. And it could be things such as hormones that function differently. It could be an experience that happened in life where the sexuality was challenged by a horrific event that happened. Or are they just maybe more prone to be gentle and it's misunderstood? But the main thing is this, is that God calls homosexual, lesbian lifestyles. He calls it unnatural. And who am I to call it natural? Who am I to do that? Who am I to do that? And then I look at it this way. Some people struggle with the temptation of the same of the opposite sex tougher than others. Some people just lust more. Is that fair to say? But am I going to make provision because someone's in whatever hormone you want to call it is higher than somebody else and struggles more with that? Or I've had people say, you don't understand my culture. I'm like, what? It's like, I grew up, I got certain kind of blood in me. That's just the way it is. I'm like, well, here's the thing. Does God's word make provision for adultery because someone has more of attentiveness in battle with lust? No. So we as believers must be very guarded to love people that struggle with their sexual identity, with the gay or lesbian lifestyle, and give them hope. And always remind them this, you're free to live however you want to live. Free. God gave you free will. But I love you enough to point out the things of liberty that God has for you. And do you want to live your short life on this earth in an unnatural way that is abomination to God who formed you and made you? Because we're not here just for now. We're here for eternity. And I thank God, because let's go back to this real quick. Some people are born with a deformity where they have both sexual parts. Imagine that. Some people have that struggle. Not a lot, but some do. And our hearts break because we know deformities are part of this thing called our body. And we show mercy and grace and we pray, God, wisdom in your decision led by God of who God created you to be. And God is here to honor that. But here, if I just nod the head that's approved, that God is cool with that, I lie. if I hold to the counsel of God's word being infallible, which I do. And it's all about mercy. It's all about grace and about deliverance of what God will accomplish in us. But we as the church must not become part of the problem. Lord, examine our hearts to see if that spirit of the Antichrist is trying to build its home within us. Another way, is your spirit grieved by the surrendering of free will to the government of fallen man? Does that grieve your spirit? Another way of saying that, am I okay that the government can point its finger and tell me everything I must do? Things that before were totally up to my choice, now being forced upon me. That is the end time government. It will not be a government of liberty and freedom. It will be a government that will demand what you do to the point of force. And it is happening all around us right now. There's never been in my life 2 years where liberty has been stripped out of the freedom of American citizens like now. And I'm saying it is a shift, and if we get to a point where whatever you say, government, I'm willing to do, is a very dangerous place to be. Because we serve God before we serve government. But there's a reason it's there, and let me just point this out. Satan's man is coming, the beast, and his religious leader, the false prophet, is coming. And they're going to, they're seasoning even now our compliance to what they will lead us in. We must be guarded. We must be guarded. And then, is your spirit pliable to the global government? Will your spirit be pliable to that global leader that will show up on the scene and he will amaze? He is going to have charisma like the earth has never seen before, and he's going to have the answers. Will you willfully say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, I follow you? Will you come to a place in your heart to accept the global religion that is stated through the words that justify through the arguments of man? Meaning, there is no absolute truth in any religion. And you must give way to the authority that is set before you. How dare you speak the word of God? For if you speak the word of God from the Bible, then you're a hater. And you not only are worthy now in some countries to be put in prison, but you are worthy to die. And that is already here, and it's only going to manifest higher and higher. He'll be totally cool with us being under the banner of Christianity, under the banner of being Muslim or Hindu or whatever, but we cannot hold to the value of the word that we've trusted in all these years. And then at some point, as we said, his ultimate desire will be for us to worship him without any cloak before it. And that is what he's doing right now to get us ready. And then I want to close with this aspect. This is a problem. It's been around because the spirit of the Antichrist has been around. In the New Testament church, there was a reality that they had to live with. And there was a temple of Tiberius. And this temple was there for one key purpose. And that was for men and women to honor Caesar as God. And it was built in honor of him, not as a man, but that he was divine and he was a God. And so the early church had to deal with this compliance issue. They were told to show that you're really with the system. You got to do something. You have to enter that temple at that certain time of the year, and you have to offer an incense to Caesar. And if you do that, nothing's going to touch you. But you got to go in there with the incense and burn it before him, stating that he is supreme, that he is God. And then many struggled with this because there were consequences if they didn't do it. Is this a token or is it blasphemy? So it's like this. I can go in there, escape all the trouble, if I burn that incense to him and walk away and said, I don't really mean it. Cross my fingers behind my back, but I go in there and burn it. And there were some Christians that bought into that. All I got to do is look like I am bringing honor, but in my heart I'm not. But in reality, it's my body walking in there, burning an incense that others see that Caesar is God. And guess what happened? There were many in the church, because the spirit of the Antichrist already at work led them into that temple, burning the incense, and then going back into worship services. But there were some. I will not bow to Caesar. I will not burn the incense. But bow to Caesar or burn the incense. Excuse me, bow to Caesar, burn the incense, or you will be burned alive. Remember the story of the believers that were brought into the arenas and set on fire and made into human torches? Many of those were the ones that were unwilling to give a token to Caesar and call him supreme above God. And what did they do? They paid with their own lives. And some people would say, well, God, wouldn't God want them to just kind of sneak around the corner? And doesn't it really matter what's in the heart more than what's on the outside? Because that's what's gotten us in a lot of trouble right now. We want to be so correct to our society that we put forth a facade. But deep inside, we feel different. But outwardly, it's like we look like we're cool with it. So would God not say, just token, man? But no, in Revelation chapter 2, the latter part of verse 10, God speaks to this challenge. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What is he saying? He's saying, church, if you blaspheme me, the cost is the loss of your eternal life. But God, you would not want me to be a human torch, would you? Well, what we have here is the word. Be faithful until it's uncomfortable. Be faithful until you do not want to offend. No, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That is the attitude and the heart that will give us the strength to endure these days that we're in. I mean that with all my heart, church. And then verse 11, God's word takes us further. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Daniel, or when you go in that lion's den, shouldn't you just comply where you're not in danger of death of those lions? No, because I'm not going to blaspheme my God. In our day, those lion den experiences are going to multiply. There's going to be statues put before us to see where our true faith lies. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there's going to be a door that will open to a furnace. And we will be led into that furnace. And the spirit of the Antichrist will do all that it can to weaken our resolve to trust in our word and the words of man above God. You know, why did God put all these examples in his word for us? You will not be hurt by the second death. For if you are obedient unto death, you have no fear of eternal death and separation from God. Refuse to have an unguarded spirit. Refuse to allow that spirit of the Antichrist to try to mold who we are, that false Christ to be accepted that will be set up before us. And then we see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, how did the martyrs stand in the face of losing their life? The hope is seen right here. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. See, in that time of the Antichrist, he will demand obedience, or you or I or whoever is alive at that time will have to suffer death if we do not follow him. And the answer is here. How do we stand up against the beast? How do we stand up against the spirit of the Antichrist? Through the blood, through the word, through the life, and through the death. Real quickly, the blood of Christ is more than able to satisfy what is needed for his strength to live in us. We do not take lightly communion, because communion matters. We're stating with our life that we trust in God. And we trust in the sacrifice of his son, that blood shed is more than able to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then we see this, we stand not in our word, but we stand in the living word of God that is in us, not held back, but lived out in our steps through the word of their testimony. Not only what they proclaimed, they lived. And we see that in the blood and in the word is the fullness of life. And in that fullness of life, we must be willing to lay down our life. In the death to self, the birth of eternal life arises. O Lord, may our heart not be found to be filled with the spirit of the Antichrist. And then lastly today, therefore, the 2 Peter verse 14, chapter 3, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent and be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. If we can bow in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we await the fullness of your kingdom upon this earth. And we celebrate your kingdom that is alive within our heart. And we say, Lord Jesus, guard us from the spot and the blemish that the spirit of the Antichrist seeks to take us into. May we rise above the calling of the flesh to lessen our trust in you and our trust in your word. May you daily give us greater dependency on the hope of your living word to guide, to feed, and to lead us not only in a life that is everlasting for ourselves, but we can be what you placed us here to be, and that is beacons of truth and salt that preserves hearts for all eternity. We honor you. And